Hey Tavis, a little, it's late. You know, we tell the story of Hey Tavis, Chamisha B'Tavis, every year. The story hasn't changed. What happened is the same story. We said it last year and 2 years ago. But the truth of the matter is that you get older and you get wiser, the same story sings different. In other words, when I remember, the story happened 31 years ago. I just want to make an announcement that serves me, which is usually the case, yeah? Chamisha B'Tavis. The Rebbe called it Chamisha B'Tavis, not Hey Tavis, by the way. In Tovshin Nun Beis, the Rebbe called it Chamisha. We should all be calling it Chamisha B'Tavis, like it's Chamisha Asa B'Shvat as opposed to Tu B'Shvat, and Chamisha Asa B'Yav as opposed to Tu B'Yav. Chamisha B'Tavis, the last Fabrengen the Rebbe had, Nun Beis, 1992, he called it Chamisha B'Tavis, not once, but the whole Fabrengen. But the other thing they want to mention is Hey Tavis, Chamisha B'Tavis did not become a Yom Tov 31 years ago. It became a Yom Tov 30 years ago. In 1987, we had the Yom Tov, the celebration of Hey Tavis. If you can't hear me, then I'm going to hear you, Zuckstein. Okay. So, 87, Mem Zayin, we Fabreng for a week. The Rebbe let us Fabreng. The Rebbe participated in an interesting way. He spoke Siches. One of the things which happened at that time, 31 years ago this week, was that the Rebbe said that now's an Eis Rotz, and people should go to the Eil, right? Pidyenis, and Mechem Betten, alles Achen, alles was me will. And the Rebbe said, I'm not even going to read the Pidyenis, I'm going to put them straight on the Tzion so you can say it the way you want to say it, and so on. So every year when it comes this time, one of the many issues that's raised is this year also an Eis Ratzon. Right? The Rebbe said 31 years ago on Zion Tavis, Thursday, Zion Tavis, which is tomorrow, that it's an Eis Ratzon. People should ask for all the bakashas in the world. Is it repeating itself every year? There's no reason to think that it isn't. There's really no reason to think that it's not. But the Rebbe did not then make a Yom Tov. I remember I was a bacher at the time. I was on shlichas. I missed everything. I was away for the whole parsha from beginning to end. This parshgach al yena. But what I remember at the time was that we got a message from the Rebbe that the case is over. Forget about it. The tnua in those days, the movement in New York at that time was that all the bacherim were a little younger than I. He was still in yeshiva. Got a hold of the transcript of the trial. The transcript of that trial, which lasted 3 weeks, is not hundreds of pages. It's not thousands of pages. It's tens of thousands of pages. Because a legal page, it's 8 by 8.5 by 11, yeah. But there's a little tiny, a few lines, triple spaced in the middle. And it's, I think it's 10 cents a page. It was a rich yid who bought, every day would buy the transcripts of that day in the trial, and the bacham would make copies of it. So I have a shvager, and I remember when people, you walk into the house, you know how, you have these cases of paper, cases. You have 10 cases. You're talking about tens of thousands of pieces of paper for the trial. It's very, and it's very interesting. Why? Because you had people explaining what Chassidus is and the history of Chabad. There was a whole education in the courtroom about what Chassidus and what's Lubavitch and what's Chabad and what's the Rabbein and what's the Alter Rebbe and so on and so forth. And people, the Rebbe said, don't read it. The Rebbe said, don't even read the judge's verdict. Spittle Tata, let him best and not save. And then, of course, this was compounded by the events of Beis Kislev, which you know about, that we won the appeal on a Monday, which was Chafei Cheshvin. The following Monday was Beis Kislev, the Svarim were brought back to 770, and the Rebbe left instructions that it should not be a celebration. It should be quiet. The Rebbe walked out, and there were hundreds of people outside. The Rebbe got so upset. So upset. I'm sure you've seen the few seconds of film. So the consequence of all this was that the Rebbe was not in favor of making a big Yom Tov out of Hey Tavis, out of Chamisha B'Tavis. It all seemed like the Rebbe's approach was to be low-key. So when it came to the first Yahrzeit, the first anniversary of Chamisha B'Tavis, Tovshin Memches, 1988, so the Bacharim came to Rabbi Yael, he should prepare a maimer. And Rabbi Yael melted down. Are you nuts? We didn't get enough from the Rebbe. How we're not going to make this into a Yom Tov. It's over. It's forgotten. Put it behind. And of course, it makes sense. You're talking about the Rebbe's mishpacha. You're not, Talking about the Rebbe's mishpacha. The Rebbe said, nothing, it's over, finish, forget about it, it never happened, it's done, don't talk about it, don't read about it, don't talk about it, finish. So the Bachrim, they couldn't get the Aviel to prepare the Maimer, so they prepared it themselves. Right, so of course, Moyacham ze Nishgahat, or Bekavonim ze Yogahat, they had very good intentions. The Rebbe got the Maimer, and guess what? He knew right away that the Aviel Khan hadn't prepared it. You see how smart he is? Any person with half a brain, I mean, Rabbi Yelp Khan prepares a maimer, the Rebbe has very little work to do. Because he prepares a maimer the way he's supposed to prepare a maimer for the Rebbe. The Bosch prepared a maimer, they did the best they could. The Rebbe worked harder on that maimer than any other maimer. He fixed and fixed and fixed and fixed again. I never saw this, but this is what I heard at the time. And after all the fixing, he let them publish the maimer, but on Ashad Bletl. It came out without a border. In other words, the Rebbe's feeling was that after all of the work, he wrote to them that whoever wrote this is an amateur. He told them straight, you don't know what you're doing. Rabbi Yael prepared a maimer. The Rebbe, the work was done. The Rebbe did, you know, he did all the thinking. The Rebbe says a maimer. You have to understand what he means. And then you have to write it out in a clear way. And then you leave the Rebbe to edit the worked over maimer. But if you don't know what the Rebbe is thinking, the Rebbe has to think again and write it all down. The Rebbe worked very, very hard on this maimer. And he gave it out without a border. In other words, it's like in between, yeah, edited, not edited. Lapel at the end of the year, when they put it into the Sefer, the Rebbe gave the permission to add a border. V'avdi Dov et Tovshim Mem Vav, which came out for 1988, Memchas. It's the first story. The second story was Heitavis with Shabbos. So the Bochum put up a sign on the wall that there's going to be a Fabrengen for the Yom Boy, and the Gaboyim took it down. Because the Gaboyim knew that the Rebbe's not going to scream at the Bachrim, he's going to scream at them. But the Rebbe said, forget about Hey Tavis, over. Someone showed me a picture of that sign. Now you have to remember, this was the bleachers, right? The sign was literally here. Now, but we have to understand, there's no floor here. It was at the very top of the ceiling. It was as high up as you could possibly put it, because they wanted to make it as difficult as possible for the Gaboyim to tear it down. And a whole Friday afternoon, the Bachrim were putting it up. Anyway, right before the Shkia, they bolted it into the wall at the tippy top, mamish, as high as you can get, and it stayed there. The next day at the Fabrengen, and I wasn't here by that Fabrengen either, I was in Russia. I missed everything I do with the Svarim, I missed. It's really interesting. I missed everything. I wasn't here at the beginning, I wasn't here at the middle, I wasn't here at the end. And then the first Hey Tavis, I was also not here. And the Rebbe starts the ring by saying, it says on the wall, it says on the wall that today is Yom HaBoy. And the Rebbe made a Yom Tov. So this is really the 30th anniversary of Chamisha B'Tavis, not the 31st. It's 31 years since the Ness of the Dan Notzach, and it was a big Ness, but it is 30 years since the Rebbe declared it a Yom Tov. And this is when people get crazy. I get crazy when people start to say Yo Tachnun, Nish Tachnun. I say it is Kislev. You say Tachnun? No. So why is the Taiva Hey Tavis? The Yom Tov of Chamisha B'Tavis did not start in 87. It started in 88. The Rebbe officially announced the Yom Tov. Don't believe me. Take out the Sikha and read it inside. And it's in a footnote that it's written. But the Rebbe said it by Fabrengen, that by Chanukah the Gemara says. By Chanukah the Gemara says. L'shono acheres kovum, the following year it was fixed as a Yom Tov. So the Rebbe said b'chamisha b'teves l'shono acheres kovum. In other words, taka last year it wasn't a Yom Tov, but this year it is. And then the Rebbe added the minhagim. The Rebbe said what the minhagim of Hey Tavis were. In other words, every Yom Tov has its rituals, right? And Chanukah you bend like candles, and then Purim you read a Megillah, and you have a Sudas Purim, and you send Shalachmonis and Mishloach Matanos Avyene. What are the minhagim of chamisha b'teves? You buy Sforim. Today you buy books, or you fix old books, or you donate Sfarim to libraries that many people can benefit from. Today is a day for Sfarim. That's what the Rebbe said about Hey Tavis. It's a yom, it's a day connected to Sfarim. This is the minhagim. See, you put candles on your table. Today is Vav Tavis. Yesterday was Hey Tavis, but Sfarim you can't buy on Shabbos. Sfarim you can't fix on Shabbos. So Hey Tavis becomes a nitche because of the minhagim of Hey Tavis. If you just kiss Levi, you have to catch it. Kasha can bless in Shabbos Eichet, yeah. But buying Sfarim you can't do on Shabbos, so Hey Tavis by default, when it's on Shabbos, spills over. The kids are all celebrating Hey Tavis today. They're buying books. With whose money? We won't. Huh? Matzah Shabbos also not Shabbos, but fine, point well taken. These are the minhagim of Hey Tavis. But I want to say something else. What's happened in my head, and this is really a chassadin in me, is we get so cooked up in the story of the Sfarim. There's a history. The story of the Sfarim is a long history that goes back many, many decades. Probably to the time that the Rebbe Rashab passed away. And then the Friedrich Rebbe passes away, and there is no will, and then Rebbe Tzlach HaMedina passes away, and she writes a will. I mean, there's a lot of details to the story that explain what the difference was, why this side said that the Sfarim belongs to me, and the Rebbe said that the Sfarim belongs to Agudas Chassidei Chabad, to every Chassid in the world. And in very brief, the Friedrich Rebbe came to America. You can read this in the judge's verdict. And he incorporated Lubavitch immediately. Everything should be legal. Everything should be on board. There should be nothing under the table. It was very important to the Friedrich Rebbe, as soon as he came to America, to incorporate Chabad. And he had several organizations that were all registered. I don't know if it's in the state government or in the federal government. One is called Agudas Chassidei Chabad, which was actually founded in 1924. Agudas Chassidei Chabad is today over 90 years old. And then when the Rebbe arrived, he established also HaMerkaz L'Inyan HaChinuch and Machane Yisrael, and then a subsidiary of those moises is the printing house, the publishing house that's called Kohos. And everything was made legal, and the Rebbe legally registered the building of 770 as the property of Agudas Chassidei Chabad. The Rebbe legally registered the library that he owned as the property of Agudas Chassidei Chabad. The Rebbe used to buy books with money from Agudas Chassidei Chabad. He would send receipts for Svarim donated to the library, or for money donated for Svarim to the library, as the official receipts and checks written from the organization of Agudas Chassidei Chabad. He made it completely public, and it was totally transparent. Nobody questioned this. But the taina was that he doesn't really mean it. It really belonged to him. And their ikaraya was at an earlier generation. I'm sorry.
It was in life, right?
It was stamped, sealed, and delivered. It was done legally with lawyers, and it was registered in the state capital. I have a son-in-law whose name is Reuben. So he told me yesterday that Chavakov called him and said to go into the state buildings in Albany. He lives in Shliach in Albany, New York, and to find those documents. And it took him a long time, but he found the documents. Everything was done on the up and up legally way before the Friedrich Rebbe passed away, years before. And the taina was that all the earlier Rabbeim did have a settlement. When the Rebbe passed away, his children divided the estate. So the Rebbe said, what are you talking? The Rebbe, he made it so clear that this is all public. It belongs to Aguch. So the taina was, he didn't really mean it. He was trying to save money on taxes and blah, blah, blah. And this really bothered the Rebbe, because you're saying that Friedrich Rebbe took his spilt. The Friedrich Rebbe was playing around, and it's completely uncharacteristic of the Friedrich Rebbe. It's a chilul Hashem. And this is the practical side of the story. Their taina was that in earlier days there were chalukah. If you remember, when the Friedrich Rebbe became Rebbe, there was no division of any estate. Why? Because he was a ben yachid. There's only one. Yeah? But when the Rebbe Marash passed away, there was a din teira over the Yerusha and the Tzemach Tzedek. So there's two things. First of all, afil imtim salema, then there was. That doesn't mean that it has to be now. The Rebbe could change. V'ashenis, there's indications, there's clear indications, maybe not such clear indications, but indications that in the earlier generations that Abayim really did not want the estate divided. In other words, when the Rebbe Marash passed away, the Rebbe Rashab felt he was entitled to everything. When the Tzemach Tzedek passed away, the Rebbe Marash felt he was entitled to everything. The brothers wanted. And at that time, the decision that he made was that he wasn't going to fight about it. So there was a din teira, but it was a very tense din teira. It wasn't an easy din teira. You have to divide an estate, you have to have a din teira. Divide an estate, okay, you take this, I'll take this. The reason there was a din teira, because they never fought for what was most important. In other words, my impression is that in the earlier generations, when there was a Yerusha, the Rebbe was a reluctant member of the Bezdin. He really wasn't happy. The Rebbe, meaning the son, whether it was the Rebbe Rashab by the Rebbe Marash estate, or the Rebbe Marash by the Tzemach Tzedek estate, we know that they went out of their way to save what they considered most important, because they really felt that the estate shouldn't be divided. It shouldn't be divided because it belongs to the Rebbe. It's not. The Rebbe is a Ben Adam, but the Rebbe is not a person. The Rebbe is a movement. The Rebbe is Lubavitch. But the Friedrich Rebbe said this is, he did it legal. And the Rebbe fought for this, because the Rebbe felt that this was axiomatic, it was fundamental to what the role of a Rebbe is, and to what the nature of the relationship between Rebbe and Chassidim are, and what's the nature of the property of the Rebbe. And there's many details, which I'm going to skip, they're unimportant. And then so as long as the status quo was established, all the years there was this hidden disagreement. The Rebbe saying everything belongs to him, and he demanded it. He demanded it many times, and it's mine. You have to give it to me. And not as a gift, as an inheritance. I'm the rightful heir. I sit on the Phoenix Kebbe's Benkel. So whatever belonged to the Benkel still belongs to the Benkel. And they were claiming it was private. So the Rebbe, Mipnei Kavod Beis Rebbe, all kinds of reasons, left it, as long as they left it. In other words, as long as they didn't touch anything, the Rebbe said, okay, Zolz, it's... In other words, I don't have to physically have it, as long as I know that they're not touching it. But when they started to touch it, the Rebbe said, this is not allowed to be, this is against the explicit direction of the Friedrich Rebbe. And I heard that in the beginning of the Nesias, in the very beginning of the Nesias, the Rebbe called in Alter Chassidim and he told them, the Nesias is not bishleimis biz the Sfarim zanim amir. My Nesias is not complete till I have the library, the Sfarim. So they went to talk about the library. They said the Rebbe can have any book he wants, he has to just ask for it. So the Rebbe said, what do you, I have to ask for something that's mine? Because I didn't give a little bit. And I don't want to talk about this, I really don't, for more than one reason. So then they took the Sfarim, they didn't tell you, it was a big case, right, all the case, and we won. And this is what the story we always tell. And I'm remiss, I'm guilty. In more recent times, I started to pay attention. First of all, I'm listening to the speeches that were made, Dushaite. The speeches that were made the first Hay Davis, which I wasn't here, I was away. And Shlomo Kunyan, the Rebbe Shlich to California, so he spoke in 770. He's a character. He's a real character. He's a performer, first class. And he gets up, and he says, every menorah that we lit redeemed 100 Sfarim. Every pair of tefillin we put on redeemed 10 Sfarim. I forget exactly the numbers, but he's very dramatic. And he said that the Sfarim were released because of the Pu'ulas Tevis of Anash, of Chassidim, of Shluchim. This is what he said. And I want to, and the emes is, he's 100% right. That's really the story of Hay Tevis. And it's the story of Chamisha Bei Tevis that we should really tell. Because, as we know, and as the Rebbe explained, the Rebbe spoke about the Sfarim in increments, right? There was a summer of Mem Hei, 1985, the Rebbe spoke about it a lot, the Rebbe stopped talking about it completely. Chanukah Mem Vav was the time of the trial itself. There were three Fabrengens in 2 days. Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, and Sunday night. Sunday night was Eish Chanukah. And in those three Fabrengens, which was at the height of the trial, the Rebbe almost explicitly explained why the Sfarim were taken and what's the Kitrug and how the Sfarim are going to be returned through what Tikkun. In other words, the Rebbe said very clearly means if you're a Kalte, you can say he didn't say it explicitly, but otherwise it's explicit. That just like when Al-Tareb was taken to prison, he wasn't taken to jail because of this one or because of that one or because of the other one. Al-Tareb was taken to jail by a Helen Behested, by a Klipa, by a Kitrug. And the Kitrug happened Lamailo. The Kitrug happened Lamailo. And that in order to defeat the Klipa, you couldn't fight a spiritual battle on a physical level. If the Alter Rebbe went to jail, because Lamailo, the Kitrug Chassidus, what's it going to help you to hire a lawyer? What's it going to help you to fight it out in court? You have to go to the source, right? We all know the story of Mordechai of Purim, which the Rebbe tells with Azak Koch and Chelek Vav and Kutasichas, and in so many other places. Mordechai was one of the most powerful men in the world before Haman came to power. He's Yeshe B'Shar HaMelech. Achashverosh, like Nebuchadnezzar before him, was not a fool. They took the biggest Chachamim of Yidden and put them in their cabinet. They sat at the palace gates and they were available to provide counsel for the king. Mordechai was a very powerful man with very close access to Achashverosh. I don't know how many steps away he was. One person, two people. Mordechai, the king, used to consult him. And Mordechai hears that there's a gezeira that Jews are going to be Rachmanu L'Tzlan wiped out. So he puts on shmatis. That's a meichelzayin. He puts on shmatis, puts black ash all over his face, walks through the streets of Shushan wailing, shite. You can think the guy had a breakdown, had to lock him up into a mental institution. So the Rebbe says, I don't understand. You're not a batlin, a shamish in a shul, there was a shamish in a shul, a batlin. You're Mordechai Yehudi. Make an appointment, go into Achashverosh and talk to him. You walk into the streets wailing, what are you trying to achieve? So the Rebbe answered that the Pasuk says, Mordechai Yoda is kol hashanas. Mordechai knew everything that happened. What's the title? Mordechai Yoda is kol hashanas. And Mordechai saw why the Gezeira happened. And the Gezeira happened because of Avedis, because of Chesreinus and Klal Yisrael at that time. that they do mishtachav nenu mitzudas shel. Let's say Gemara nenu mitzudas shel. They say Rasha and mishtachav the tellum. The tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar I told you about in the last hour, that gold statue, many yidden bow down to. If you wouldn't bow down to the tzelem, he would kill you. It's very simple. So Mordechai says, if there's a gezeira, because nenim mitzvah shalei say rasha, shachmo tzelem, what's it going to help me to go to Achashverosh? It's not Achashverosh, it's not Haman, it's lamayla. You have to fix the lamayla. So the first thing Mordechai did was address the cause. He was made a yidden to tshuva. That was his first act. He said, this is not happening through Haman and Achashverosh, it's happening in the Elam HaTzal Yenim. And it has to be repaired spiritually. And after he was made a Yidin Teshuva, then he got himself a lawyer who went into court, and he fought. The lawyer's name was Esther Amalke, and she went into the court, and she fixed Haman's wheels as they daf tzayin. But this was the mopping up. The Melchama was won. The Balayla Ahu, another the Shnas HaMelech, was from the Mekel. Let's say the Medrash says that the Eibishter that says, "What's the voice of the Hevel Shemechet?" The little children are learning Teda. This was what woke up the Eibishter Kayachol in Mitten Golus, the darkest Golus. Balayla Ahu, another not became day. It was still night, and in the night Kayachol the Eibishter was roused, and he heard Kelat saying, and then it worked out. And this is how the Rabbeim always explained any. When you have a difficulty, you have to find the cause. And by Yidin, the cause is always Ruchnis. And by a Rebbe, Allah has come over come. So the Rebbe said what the cause is. The cause is that there's a chasarin by us. That's a Ruchnis Dikhi chasarin. And if you want to repair the symptom of the Ruchnis Dikhi chasarin, which is that the Svarim were taken, and that the ownership of the Svarim was questioned, and the ownership of 770 was questioned. And to say it precisely, that the Rebbe is a continuation of the Friedrich Rebbe, and therefore what belonged to the Friedrich Rebbe belonged to the Rebbe, was brought into question, was a symptom of this Dover Ruchni. And therefore the Rebbe said, we're going to hire a lawyer, and he's going to a court, and he's going to fight, but you're going to win the battle on the battlefield. And the battlefield is, whatever it is, that's the Taine, that's the Kitru, that's the objection, that's the issue to Hanhag of Chassidim, I don't know how else to say it, which is the reason that this kitrug is happening in the first place, you'll repair that. And the other part of it will almost repair itself. And the Rebbe Yemel, the Rebbe then stood it about the need of increase in light. An increase in light. More pu'ulis. That Chanukah was 86, not 87. A year before was Shturimdik. The Rebbe was not doing enough. And all over the world, there was an incredible increase in pulis of anash, achsidim, and shluchim, in doing pashat mevtzayim, because this was the real battlefield. The place where the war over the svarim was won was in the place where the helam vehested really was. And it wasn't about money, and it wasn't about books, and it wasn't about a nephew, and it wasn't about a sister-in-law. It was about Lubavitch. Aguch, agudas chasidi chabad, was on trial. Spiritually, lamayla, and the Rebbe made it very clear that if this is going to be resolved favorably, it has to be resolved first lamayla, then lamata. So he got up in 770. Again, I wasn't here when he spoke, but I saw the film a few years ago, and I said to myself, "Rebbeinu Shalalem, I'm missing the whole point. The point of Hey Tavis was that there was a kitrug lamayla, and the resolution of the kitrug lamayla was not in the court of law. The resolution of the kitrug lamayla was in the pulis of chassidim." In other words, Lubavitch Chassidim, the Rebbe's Shluchim, the Rebbe's kids did whatever was necessary to be done to remove whatever objection, whatever challenge there was to the Lubavitch status, the Lubavitch status quo, how things were. And the language of the Rebbe at that time was Yankev Avinu Lei Meis. That was the language of the Svarim story. Yankev Avinu was still alive. Oy Yosef Chai, right? The Rebbe said, Oy Yosef Chai. I'm always pointing this out to people. They always say that reality is stranger than fiction. Hey Tavis, Chamisha B'Tavis, in 1987 was Tuesday of Ayigash. You cannot find a more appropriate chitas in the entire Chumash to celebrate the Didan Notzach of Chamisha B'Tavis than Tuesday of Parshas Vayigash. It said, Oy, Yosef Chai, Yosef is still alive. The whole question is whether Yosef is alive or not. And in the Parshas Shavu it says, Befeirish, Ey, Yosef Chai. And then the next pasuk, which is how the chitas finishes, Vatchi ruach Yaakov Aviv, Yaakov's spirit comes to life, Zogt Rashi, Shor Salov Shechina. And the Rebbe spoke about this, and the sicha that he said, he didn't say in that many words, but Vatchi ruach Yaakov Aviv means Yaakov was sad for 22 years. And when a tzaddik is sad, the Ruach HaKedesh departs. And now Yaakov Avinu was happy, so the Ruach HaKedesh returned. No, fill in the... complete the dot. It's so obvious. And you, like I said, this was... you could not have a more precise chitas, kriya chumash chitas, for the day and the occasion than the one we have. Because the taina is that the life of a tzaddik is limited to his goof. And our taina is that the life of a tzaddik was never his goof. The life of tzaddik is always his neshama. The Rebbe said this again and again and again. Chaya tzaddik, einim chaya mesarim. It says niger sakedish, in Alter Rebbe Tanya. By the, in Chav Zayin, in Chav Ches, the life of a tzaddik is avas Hashem, and yiras Hashem, and emunas Hashem. And these don't die. And they're available to anybody who goes in the ways of the tzaddik. Netzach sel avod, forever. And as long as there are people going in the ways of the tzaddik, the Rebbe lives in their pules and in their lives and in their actions and in their connection to him and so forth and so on. So the Rebbe said that taina is that there's a chesaron in zarei b'chayim. There's a chesaron in zarei, in his children. And because there's a chesaron in zarei, he becomes a shayla of hu b'chayim. That's the kitrug. So on earth it plays itself out that someone comes along and says, the books are mine. I, the Rebbe, incorporated it. He was trying to save money on taxes. So the Rebbe sent a message to somebody after the Pashas HaSfarim who testified on the other side that he should make sure before he dies he should do tshuva for calling the Friedrich Rebbe a liar. Because that's really what it came down to. And that's how it played out on earth. But how did the Rebbe understand it? The Rebbe understood it that there's an inyan from Hu B'Chaim, a tzaddik. But the Hu B'Chaim of a tzaddik depends on Zarei B'Chaim, depends on us. And when there's a chesaron in zarei, it becomes a question on the who. And the didan notzach meant that in the hu b'chaim, the Rebbe lives. And the Rebbe didn't say, ma zarei b'chaim. The Gemara says, since his children lives, he lives. The Rebbe twisted it, yeah. He bowed hu b'chaim, because he is alive. B'meile zarei b'chaim. The Rebbe didn't say the Gemara, as the Gemara is written. The Rebbe said the Gemara. So the Rebbe understands the Gemara. That it starts from the Rebbe, from the Nasi Adar. Hu b'chaim, b'meile zarei b'chaim. When we won the case, on Chamisha B'Teva, the Rebbe spoke a sikh, and he asked a resounding question. The sikh of Chamisha B'Teva from 31 years ago, it was a Tuesday, the Rebbe asked Akash, we all understand this business about Kitruk. But Lubavitch is doing so much. How could the Kitruk happen? In other words, Vashas Maiseh, the Rebbe said that the reason it's happening is because there's a Shaila problem. But when we won the case, the Rebbe asked a rhetorical question. Lubavitch, you have to question whether the Lubavitch is going in the ways of the Friedrich Rebbe. Look what Lubavitch looked like on the day the Friedrich Rebbe passed away. Look what Lubavitch looks like today. Today is 31 years ago. How could there be a Shaila if Hu B'Chaim? In other words, the Rebbe said that we understood the story as being a kler of Hu B'Chaim because of a chesaron in Zarei B'Chaim. Fine, that was the grounds. So what was the answer? To do more. Really, the case was won by the Chanukah Menedes, not in the court of law. The case was won by the Pulis Tevis of Anash, of Chassidim, of learning more the Tater of the Rabbeim, of the Chassidim which had ever revealed with such a shefa, and with such an unprecedence. The Rebbe told Reb Nissen a few years before that I'm giving out all this chassidus and no one is learning, and I may pay for it. And ich nit nispol wenn ich druck und weiter. And kach, that's exactly what happened in 1981 in Pesach time. The Rebbe told Reb Nissen, ich hab meida, as ich hab der Fahrer schneller nos, and ich hab da schneller nos. But when it was all over, the Rebbe said, I don't understand the kitter in the first place. We were doing so much before. So the Rebbe answered, in effect, and I'm not so clear on this, but this is the way I understand it, is that sometimes you're doing a gvald, but they want you to do more. In other words, sometimes there's a kitru, because it's like a chesaron in the Zarei B'Chaim. So it becomes a question in the Hu B'Chaim. But it's very difficult to say that you could look at Lubavitch today, 31 years ago, and say that they're not doing anything. And because when you look at Lubavitch today, it's so hard to say. The Rebbe in that Fabrengen used the Aseis Agudas Chabad. The Magizot Agudas Chabad is nicht genug aktiv. Agudas Chabad is not active enough. So the Rebbe asked, how could you say that Agudas Chabad is active? Look what's been accomplished in the last 35 years. Since the Fidikam is physical histalkus. You're going to say Agudas Chabad is not active? It's ridiculous. So why would they kitik in the first place? And the Rebbe said, it has to be Eirah. So the Rebbe's Eirah was that sometimes you have a kitik not because you're doing anything wrong, because I want you to do more. So B'shas Maise, during the Shredded Zeit, Memvav was a very hard year. I missed it all, but the Rebbe was a zei ungestrengt. The Rebbe was under such stress. This was so serious to the Rebbe. This wasn't about books. This was about Lubavitch. This was about the Emes of Chassidus. It was Negei the Rebbe ad Imkei Nafshei. Again, I wasn't around, but you hear from people, the Rebbe's neshama went out in this parsha. It was a very serious issue for him. It was a very holy issue. It was a very sacred issue for him. And it was a battle that you couldn't lose, because everything depended on it. So B'shas Maise, he was saying that we're not doing enough, so Meld is a kitrug. After the fact, he says, I don't understand. We were doing so much before. And the only explanation is that they want us to do more. That was the Rebbe's redemptive talk, the sicha that the Rebbe spoke. On Chamisha B'Teves, Tashma Zayin, the Rebbe made this point. Anyway, so as Ariella pointed out, Hey Teves, I always get excited. It's not hard for me to get excited, Hey Teves. Why? This is our Yom Tov. I lived it. We all lived it. And we remember the Agmas Nefesh, and we remember the Simcha. And after enough years, you figure out what the story is. Hey Teves. So in one of the first years, we were teaching these classes in the other room. So I gave my Hey Teves speech. I'm sure it was a good speech. Some are better than today's. And a woman got up, and she said, the story is not over. An elderly, respectful woman. And the truth is that the truer words have never been spoken. Because the story of Hey Teves is more now than it was when it happened. Because the whole toichen of Hey Teves, of Chamisha B'Teves, is Zare B'Chayim Hu B'Chayim. That the Rebbe lives in and through and with the Chassidim. The Rebbe said that through the Chassidim, the Rebbe is connected to every Yid in the world. It's true. Yeah, there's another generation. I always tell you the same thing. Okay, Chashen Endekin. I gave a speech last year, Gimel Thomas, to a group of what was called Reform Jews. Zeir Reformer Yidin. So it was a very small group. I told this to you 5 times since then. So I put away my speech and I sat down and I fabrengt with them. I described my upbringing. I described my being in Crown Heights and being around the Rebbe and the whole situation. And I explained to them how whenever the Rebbe spoke, and the Rebbe's Teder was so delightful. To listen to the Rebbe was the most delicious thing in the world. But in each Fabrengen, there'd be a few minutes where the Rebbe would say, new, 2 episodes. I explained to them where the drive comes from. The Rebbe pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed until his will became Chassidim's will. So when I finished my talk, so we chatted a bit, so a fellow asks me, I get it, I understand. But why is there another generation? I can't understand. How is there a nochador? There's another generation. There's a new generation of Lubavitcher boys and girls who have the same or greater spirit than their parents. As whatever, I gave him a teretz. It was a karge teretz. It was a knappe teretz. But this is the teretz. The teretz is hu b'chaim, mele zare b'chaim. The Rebbe left. And the more we are in the spirit of the Rebbe, the more the Rebbe lives in us and with us and through us and so on and so forth. And this is the Yom Tov of Chamisha B'Teves. So the Minhagim of Chamisha B'Teves, the Tzir of Chamisha B'Teves is a Maisim mit Svarim, with books, Svarim, Helik Svarim, and the house, Beis Chayenu, Beis Rabbeinu Shalabala, right? 770, Beis Mashiach, Begamatzvia Faratzta, all the good stuff, yes? But the Pnimius of Hey Teves is about the relationship to Chassidim and the Rebbe. Zare b'chaim hu b'chaim. And this is what we celebrate. And of course, a celebration like this is not just a Sheinu Maise. It's a celebration that has a certain demand. Because the story is a story about Lebedik Chassidim. And Lebedik Chassidim create a Lebedik Rebbe. Okay, a good Yom Tov. And I'll actually see you tomorrow, B'li Neder.